The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com. Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. Welcome back. CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button. Be Brandon Davies. You have consent. And don't forget to also subscribe to the CBS Sports College Basketball YouTube channel while you're here. Let's get into it. Fun Tuesday night in the sport. We want to start in the ACC because that's where North Carolina was supposed to win at Syracuse, but it didn't. Instead, the Orange won 86-79. Meantime, Virginia lost at home to Pitt. Surprise, 74-63. So that's two Tuesday night upsets. Hashtag Tuesday night upsets at the top of the ACC standings. The byproduct is that Duke is now tied in the loss column with North Carolina atop the league standings. Dead Lead, what'd you make of a couple of surprising results in the ACC on Tuesday night?
Happy Valentine's Day, bud.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Happy Valentine's Day. We get one of these, I feel like, every other year or so where we actually pot on Valentine's Day. It's important for the men out there to express appreciation for each other. I love you. I love doing this podcast together with you. Okay.
Hey, and I love you. And did you see on CBS Sunday Morning this past Sunday morning? My wife watches this every Sunday. It's her favorite show. Shouts to CBS Sunday Morning. They had an essay, like a verbal essay, whatever you call that. And a gentleman, he was explaining the difference between saying, "Hey, I love you, pal," or "Man, I love you, buddy," and just looking at another person and saying, "I love you," and stopping right there. Just those three words, it carries more weight. So I wanted to say that to you.
Wow.
I love you.
I love you. Okay. This is getting pretty powerful at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, but I'm good with it. You might be at this hour, by the way. I might have gotten two I love yous into the wife at this point, but I think it's a tie at best between you and my wife. I'll try and adjust that scoreboard as soon as we're done with the pod here. But and to everyone listening, we love you. If you want to show love to us on this Valentine's Day, hit the like button, smash it like you're Brandon Davies. Please give us good reviews. Spread the word. We would so very much appreciate that. Let's get to the matter at hand. And yeah, Tuesday night was loaded with upsets, but we'll let's home in here on the ACC. I'll send it right back to you. I'm curious about between Q's winning at home over Carolina or Pitt going into Virginia. And don't worry, I got some good little nuggets on both those. To you, what's the more meaningful result between those two?
I think North Carolina losing at Syracuse, if only because North Carolina is now 2-3 in its past five games. So this ain't just like they went up to Syracuse and got caught. It's they haven't been playing well lately. They let Syracuse, did you see this number, shoot 62.5% from the field against them?
Not only that, Parrish, the effective field goal percentage because of the three-pointers they made, it was a north of 70%.
Outrageous. Insane. And yeah. Like Syracuse, by the way, if you're wondering, is Syracuse amazing offensively? No, not at all. Outside of the top 100 in adjusted offensive efficiency. So North Carolina has now gone from 17-3 and projected as the fourth number one seed. We've been settled in on these number one seeds, at least the top three, the first three for a while. In some order, Purdue, UConn, Houston, North Carolina 2 weeks ago was projected to be that fourth number one. They've gone from 17-3 to 19-6. And I don't know if you know, but you can go to barttorvik.com and sort some data. It's very helpful, particularly when you have to talk about this stuff for a living.
Yeah.
North Carolina in its first 20 games was 17-3 record and had a defense that ranked 12th nationally, according to Torvik. Past five games, 2-3. That's the record. Defense ranks 130th nationally. They can't stop nobody, including Syracuse. 86-79, shoot nearly 63% from the field. I'm not saying North Carolina can't get it right. They're still tied in the loss column atop the ACC standings, but they're clearly a different team these last five games than they were the first 20.
That's undeniable. Some of it is a little bit of regression to the mean when it comes to opponent shooting, without a doubt. And listen, Syracuse, and we'll focus on this one, then we'll touch Pitt on Pitt UVA. I at least want to give a shout to Syracuse getting this kind of home win. You know, they get rid of Benny Williams a week ago. They basically only play six guys in this game. Judah Mintz goes for 25. J.J. Starling goes for 23. It's the first meaningful, significant win of Red Autry's, you know, young head coaching career of the Orange. So I know for Syracuse fans, the ones that have still been dialed into the podcast here, despite your program being, you know, a bit adrift at sea, you're feeling good this morning because you finally got a meaningful victory. So I don't want to just toss that off to the side. Syracuse had lost 14 straight games against top 20 teams. They finally get this done. They were 2-13 because Carolina was 13-2 in its previous 15 games against the Tar Heels, including, you know, the drubbing earlier this season, 103-67. So credit to Cuse. It was its best shooting performance in a game since 2011 against DePaul.
Who else?
Exactly. So it had been 13 years since Syracuse had a shooting performance that good, and it was back when they were in the Big East there. So credit to Cuse there. Carolina has allowed 80 plus in three of its past four games. I'm obviously taking stock of this. In aggregate, do these losses have an impact on their 1-seed chances? Of course they do. But it is, you know, it's a semi-respectable quad 2 loss on the road. Carolina's record's still fine. You know, I still think it's going to win the ACC. But you said, to me, the Virginia one was a little, it was the bigger one, I guess, it carried more meaning than UNC. But you can argue that even though UNC was on the road, you match up Syracuse and Pitt next to each other, and Syracuse is the worst team. So it's kind of 6-1, half a dozen in the other.
I guess maybe maybe I should use specific words here. Perhaps Virginia losing a home game to Pitt is a bigger result than North Carolina losing a road game to one of the biggest brands in the sport, right? But I do think the more meaningful one is North Carolina losing a game it was supposed to win, because they've done that a lot lately, 2-3 in its past five, and they're not guarding anybody. They just let a team shoot 62.5% against them. On the other side of this, the Virginia Pitt thing, like, Virginia had won, I think, 8 in a row, 23 straight at home, and then they just got by Blake Henson, who was just shot-making from all over the court. Yes. I mean, just catch and shoot from the corner, catch and shoot everywhere. Then they'd start really aggressively closing out. He'd get to the rim. I guess maybe the reason I don't draw much meaning from that is that all that means is Virginia's now 8-1 in its past 9. All that means is Virginia's now 23-1 and it's past 24 at home. And every once in a while, we've seen this over the years, Virginia will, I don't know if it's play down to the competition or play such a low possession game that the gap between them and the competition lessens, or just every once in a while, somebody going to go bananas on you and do what Blake Henson did to them last night. But I've just seen Virginia lose goofy games so many times that it never makes me go, what's wrong with Virginia? As much as it makes me go, well, they did that again, but I'm sure they'll be okay. And that's what that was last night.
Okay. I can, you know what? I might be able to buy some of what you're selling there. Also note, you know, Pitt, it was 14 of 32 from three. Henson, had 27. They controlled most of the game. And Virginia, yeah, they had the nation's longest home game winning streak, 23 in a row. That's done. This is a seed line loss situation, no doubt about it. Palm had him on the 8 line going in. I did a quick tour last night. I think the resume on balance, I think the best case scenario right now for Virginia is you're like the last 9 on the board. If you wanted to build out a case for Virginia to be a 10 seed, maybe you can do that. But they're still in the field. Yeah. Pitt, you take it for here, GP, but Pitt is like, it's on the cusp of being in the bubble conversation. Really look at the resume. There's more work to do, but damn, that is a really majorly valuable quad one win. And if they can continue to do this, Parrish, Pitt, they've won what, 6 of their past 7? They've won their last 6 ACC road games. So they're slowly maybe getting into that conversation. I thought that was a pretty big development.
On Virginia, the one of the issues with the ACC now is that, and I know Virginia still won 8 of its past 9, but then you have your 8-game winning streak snapped in a place by a team it's not supposed to get snapped by, a sub-50 net team. If you start looking at the ACC ranks 4th in leagues according to the net. It's 5th according to KenPom. And every once in a while, you'll hear a coach pop off about that, right? Those computers can't capture this or whatever. And, Jeff Capel did it last season at Pitt. I think Steve Forbes had some similar comments earlier this season. One of the issues is that there's too much of that kind of stuff happening. The good teams losing to the teams they're not supposed to lose to. For instance, right now, North Carolina and Duke are both in the top 20 of the net, but they're the only teams in the ACC in the top 25 of the net. The Big 12 has 6 teams in the top 25 of the net. The ACC's average net ranking is 76. The Big 12's is 46, 30 spots better. And what you might think is, well, that must be because of the bottom of the league. But the truth is the ACC and the Big 12 both have 3 sub-100 teams in the net. Both identical. Both have 3. Everybody else is in the top 100. It's that they don't have as many great teams, and in the middle, they're lower than they should be. And a byproduct of that is, or the cause of that rather, is you have too many good teams that should be NCAA tournament teams that take goofy losses. For instance, right now, the top 3 teams in the ACC, North Carolina, Duke, and Virginia, they all have quad 3 losses on their resume. Georgia Tech, and Notre Dame for Virginia. Georgia Tech beat Carolina and Duke. For comparison purposes, the top 4 in the Big 12, according to the net, that's Houston, Iowa State, BYU, and Baylor, 0 quad 3 losses. 5 of the top 6 in the Big 10, according to the net, 0 quad 3 losses. Top 3 in the SEC, according to the net, that's Alabama, Tennessee, Auburn, 0 quad 3 losses. But the top 3 in the ACC all have quad 3 losses. That's how you screw up your computer numbers. And I thought last night, between Carolina losing at Syracuse, Virginia losing at home to Pitt, it was another good example of it. Those are supposed to be 2 of your best teams, and they both took losses that slide them down the rankings, slide them down the computers, and slide them down Jerry Palm's bracket. Although, and this is the point I was trying to get to a minute ago, Virginia as an 8 seed, I had them 25th in the top 25 and 1 on Tuesday morning. I got them out now.
Yeah.
But I had them as a, what does that equate to? A 7 seed on Tuesday. Yeah. So it's, I'm pretty much in line with Jerry, maybe a little higher, but they would drop from that now, obviously. Okay.
Virginia and Pitt obviously have not shared a conference for the past 50 years, but they have as of recently. Pitt's win last night was the first time it won in Seville in 50 years, 74. So a notable win for Jeff Capel. I thought it was really important. He had some nice things to say after the game. It's Pitt landed its, I saw this note from our researchers. It was the first time since Pitt was in the Big East in 2011 that it got back-to-back road wins over ranked opponents in conference play. So a lot of good developments there, because Pitt went into this season having not beaten a ranked team on the road, period, since 2012, 2013, so more than a decade. And now this season, they've gone to Duke and gotten a win. They've gone to Virginia, both teams ranked when they got it done. Virginia allowed more than 70 points in its own building for the first time in like 50 home games. It was a weird one. And we talked about Carolina's defense being a little bit shaky. Teams, 3 of the past 4 games, credit to Rush the Court for this note, 3 of the past 4 times that Virginia's gone out and played a game, its opponent's been more than 1 point per possession. That's not Virginia hoops. We'll see if they can, if this really is, I think you're probably right. Like, all right, they were riding an 8-game win streak. They took 1L, a stumble, and that might not end up meaning too much. But credit to Pitt and credit to Q's, a couple of fan bases that were given a little bit of hope there on Tuesday night.
Next up for Carolina, if you're interested, they got Virginia Tech this weekend. Then they're off all, no midweek game next week. So it'll be Virginia Tech this weekend and then at Virginia on February 24th. We'll get to some other notable results from Tuesday in just a second. First, though, let's get a quick word from our partners.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right, Deadleg, you know what time it is. It's whip around time. Whip us around.
Let's focus on the Big 12 here from the past couple of nights and also one result in the Big East. There have been teams that have played in the past 48 hours who are in the two seed conversation. That is our YouTube poll currently. Which team do you think is most likely? There you go. Of Iowa State, Kansas, Baylor, Marquette. Those are all teams in the two seed combo right now. Which of those four teams do you think is most likely to wind up and finish? Most likely, they might have multiple teams be a two seed, but what do you think is most likely? Whether you think they'll be good enough to be a two, or maybe they'll you know, you don't think they will be a, maybe you think Iowa State's going to play itself to a one seed. If that's the case, don't for Iowa State. We'll give you the results there in just a minute here. So Iowa State goes on the road, wins Tuesday night at Cincinnati. This is the number one defense in the country when it comes to turning teams over. For the third time this season, Iowa State forced 25 turnovers. Only 6 of them were off of steals against Cincinnati. They held the Bearcats starters to just 22 points. It was yet another game where an opponent couldn't crack 60 on the Cyclones there. I think they have to be right now a real-time bracket update on Valentine's Day, if that's what you're looking for. I think Iowa State is the last two on the board as of this morning after going into Cincinnati and getting a 68-59 win. It was the first big loss for Cincinnati, Big 12 loss for Cincinnati this season, GP, that was not by 5 points or fewer. And I think that's what's going to keep the Bearcats out. I think they lose at home to Texas by 1, Houston by 5, Oklahoma by 4. Then they got beat here with some comfortability there. I'll toss it back to you in just a second. But the other ones, then you can take it as you please. Kansas on Monday gets destroyed. Self-ejected. I think I heard first ejection of his career. We now have had 3 Big 12 coaches tossed from a game in like the past week and a half. Can we get the entire league tossed before the end of the season? Love nothing more than to see.
Who's least likely Big 12 coach to get tossed?
That's left on. Well, I would have said it was Johnny Dawkins. Johnny Dawkins is least likely. Drew and Johnny Dawkins had the longest odds. Drew has been tossed. But I think that's true now. We've had Drew and Self, who up until 2 weeks ago had never been tossed from a game. I thought I heard Self had not been tossed. I could see him getting tossed at some point, but I thought I heard that. And yet, there they go. They've been. Self said he didn't even curse after. You could read his lips. He was saying, that's a joke. You're a joke or something like that. I guess you say it 14 times in a row, you're going to get tossed. And that was like the 4th worst loss of Self's career, I think I saw. So Kansas in the two seed conversation, but it's 30-1 in this past 31 home games in the Big 12 at Allen Fieldhouse. Can't seem to pick up a win on the road in league play this season. So it's pecking order in the two seed race is a bit down. And then Baylor, not much to say about this game. Jaden Nunn had 27, and it was kind of an as expected game. Baylor remains in the hunt for a two seed with a home win over Oklahoma on Tuesday night. Oklahoma is still in the tournament conversation, but you know, doesn't want to mess around too. But and then outside the Big 12, but in the two seed conversation, GP, Marquette, which was your early 6:30 tip on Tuesday, Marquette went to Butler, got a 78-72 win. Marquette's now 19-5 overall, 10-3 in the Big East. It is definitely a two seed as of right now. It's won 8 straight games. It's averaging about 82 points over that win streak. Tyler Kolek has been tremendous, 25 or more in 3 of his past 4 games. This is Marquette's first 8-game win streak, by the way, since 2019, and it has won 5 straight on the road. And it's those road victories that are only going to reinforce this. So yeah, that's your 2-seed watch. Any takeaways, thoughts, comments on ISU, KU, Baylor, or those Marquette Golden Eagles?
Well, I apologize if I missed it. Who's your 4th number 1 seed right now?
I didn't say. If you're taking UNC out, one of those teams has got to jump up. Is that the deal?
UConn and Houston would be a number one. They would all be number 1 seeds according to any bracketologist right now. So who would be the 4th?
Do we have a case for Arizona?
Yeah, sure you do.
I think that might be the pick as of this morning. I think. I would say so. And listen, folks, we got more than a month till Selection Sunday. But I'd go Purdue in order: Purdue, UConn, Houston, Zona, Marquette, Iowa State, Tennessee, Carolina, maybe?
You're pretty close to me. I've got it. Well, again, Wednesday morning's top 25-1. I've got it: Purdue, UConn, Houston. Marquette's my 4th number one.
Look at you. All right. There we go.
It's my 4th number one, which means this weekend, UConn, Marquette, we should have 2 projected, at least in my mind, number 1 seeds against each other. I've got Arizona at 5, Tennessee at 6, Baylor at 7, and you mentioned earlier Iowa State would be your last number 2 seed. That's exactly where I have them in the top 25-1 at number 8. North Carolina is now number 9. I would have North Carolina in this as the number 1 3 seed, just in front of Kansas.
Yeah, I think I just double-crossed myself there. I would have ISU, the final 2, and then Carolina, I guess, top on the 3 line. Someone in the chat's pointing out Self had been previously tossed elsewhere before he got to Kansas, so his first ejection at Kansas there, duly noted. Iowa State, it has reached a point, and they're going to take some, you'd think they're going to take some losses, but they keep picking up these good wins. A heads up now, mark it down for later when we get to March, folks. I've seen this team play now like a dozen plus times this season. And to me, with Taman Lipsey as the head of the snake, I know sometimes they get caught in a game where they might be like playing to 60. I get all that. I don't know if I will be able to talk myself out of Iowa State getting to the second weekend, because the defense is undeniable at this point. And Cincinnati might not prove to be a tournament team. Again, it's blowing a lot of chances on its home floor. But this is a team that, because it doesn't have a superstar and because its style play isn't, you know, the most cosmetically appealing, I get all that. They're just not going to probably get as much love as they deserve. GP's obviously giving them love in his top 25-1 refresh on Wednesday morning. Don't dismiss them as just another quality Big 12 team and you know, whatever. They might be ripe for an upset. Maybe, but I've seen enough of this group. You turn 3 different teams over 25 times in a season, man. 25 turnovers in a 40-minute game. Are you kidding me? That's outrageous. So just keep that in mind. That was a big night for them and for Marquette to again reinforce, and Tyler Colic to reinforce what they've been able to do. It was an interesting night for teams again in that 2-seed combo.
Yeah, just a couple of thoughts on those 2 teams you just mentioned. With Colic, he took 21 shots, made 10 of them, had 27.7 rebounds, 5 assists in 36 minutes. And these past 2 games, he's now averaging 27 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds, shooting 55% from the field, 58% from 3. He's been fabulous. I don't know if he's going to repeat. And this is sort of what I led the top 25-1 on Wednesday morning. Not only do I not know, I'll go a step further. I don't think Marquette is going to repeat as Big East champion. I think UConn's going to get that. And I'm not sure Tyler Colic is going to repeat as Big East player of the year. It might end up being Tristan Newton. But don't get it twisted. Marquette is having a fabulous season. Tyler Colic is having a fabulous season. And all of that's going to be on full display Saturday afternoon. That's the game of the weekend. We'll obviously preview it on Friday, but, you know, 2 top 4 teams with a conference championship still in the balance, number 1 seed stuff still in the balance. That's going to be a great one. On Iowa State, I'll just keep this simple. Maybe they don't blow you away from an eye test perspective. You know what they keep doing? They keep winning games that these other good Big 12 teams keep losing.
Yeah.
Good teams go to Cincinnati and lose. They keep winning games that these other good – we go, you know, what are you going to do? It's life in the Big 12. And Iowa State goes, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go win that game. We're going to go win that game instead of lose it. And the byproduct of that is, you know, they're in a position to to win this conference championship earlier in the season. I believe this is true. They didn't get their first quadrant one win until January, until after New Year. So that's why some folks out in the internet streets were going, hey, I don't know. Could be. This looks like it's got all the characteristics of a computer tricker. If it walks like a computer tricker and it talks like a computer tricker, it might be a computer tricker. And TJ Otzelberger said, nope, we're not that. Now we're just going to go win games that other Big 12 teams don't win. And they got a chance to win a conference title, which is pretty remarkable.
Big 12 continues to be obviously very compelling. Some interesting stuff there over the past two nights. And listen, I'm not going to just do a complete dismissal of Texas Tech getting a great home environment, really good home win for Grant McCaslin. His son was getting a lot of love at the end of that game. Beckett is the most passionate dude in the building. That was cool to see. And Texas Tech, man. Grant McCaslin, we're going to have a dribble handoff go up later on Wednesday. GP might not be familiar with this, but we will have a dribble handoff later in the day.
I was in and submitted before you.
I know you got it done. I'm proud of you. But the topic this week for our writers roundtable is, you know, at this point in the season, who would you have for National Coach of the Year? I don't know if anyone has logged a vote for Grant McCaslin, but if not, he's obviously in that as well with what he's been able to do in his first season and getting Tech into the NCAA tournament picture.
So my vote, just for the record, you can check it out, cbssports.com. My vote went to UConn's Dan Hurley.
There you go. My vote, even though he would not be, I don't think, reasonably number one, two, or three, I did have a court report that led on Washington State on Tuesday.
Hey, let me ask you a question about this. I've been wanting to ask you a question about this.
Yeah.
Because I noticed when I was talking to you on Saturday night, and we start showing Washington State the Cougars some love. Yeah. I said, and are you familiar with this Miles Rush? And you were like, I am. Were you already working on that?
Yes.
Did I screw that up for you?
You're good. You're good. I just didn't expound on it. That's all. Yeah.
So it's like you didn't want to engage me. I was like, why is he said he wanted to show Washington State love. I'm giving him an opportunity. He just
it's all good.
Like he wants to.
It's all good. I was the Miles Rice stuff was in the mix there, and they were he's got an incredible story. If you haven't read it, please do. He had cancer last year, and now he is legitimately a first team all Pac-12 player. He's the best freshman in the Pac-12 and the only freshman in the country leading his team in scoring, assists, and steals. And so Kyle Smith, who has Washington State tracking in like the seventh seed territory right now, first bid for that program since 08. He is my vote at this point. And if that were to continue, by the way, and if, you know, South Carolina took on some losses, if Washington State like messes around and is like a five seed and finishes like one game behind Arizona in the Pac-12, like Kyle Smith will get votes. I don't know if that'll be enough to get him National Coach of the Year. As a reminder, we do our National Coach of the Year after the Elite Eight, before the Final Four. That's why we were the only outlet to give Dusty May, rightfully, the National Coach of the Year a season ago. We'll see. But Grant McCaslin, another coach that is in that conversation. Let's keep it out west here. GP can take the monologue for these next two here. I watched all of Colorado State, San Diego State. And then I tapped out. I was just long day yesterday, and I watched a lot of New Mexico, Nevada, an incredible ending. You actually watched it, obviously, in real time in studio there in New York for CBS Sports Network. But San Diego State flips the game. I think Colorado State went 3 for 25 shooting in the second half. They only had 11 points. Jaden Ledee himself doubled up CSU. 22 points to 11. And I think San Diego State outscored the Rams by 30 in the second half. Both of these Mountain West results were the preferred outcome for the conference to be a six bid league, because Colorado State was ahead in the overall bracket pecking order of San Diego State. San Diego State holds serve at home. New Mexico, which now has the sweep of Nevada, was the first team out of Palm's bracket going into Tuesday night. It goes wins at Nevada, which had just beaten two ranked teams. New Mexico is now 20-5 overall, 8-4 in conference. Nevada is 19-6, 6-5. Give me anything and everything you want from either of these games. Both were on our air. Both were compelling. And New Mexico got a win by nature of a late corner three-pointer by Jamal Mashburn Jr. Just another classic. And if you aren't watching the Mountain West, sincerely, like, you are missing out. This conference is delivering weekly with not just like matchups you want to tune into, but then the games actually live up to the hype.
I don't argue with Jerry Palm. That's a good way to end up in the Hudson, if you know what I mean.
you're accusing Jerry Palm of being a mobster?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Of all the people under our umbrella at our shop, the last person on that list might be Jerry Palm.
No, it's Jerry Palm. It's a good, arguing with Jerry Palm's a good way to end up in the Hudson, is what I heard. But I was surprised because, you know, we got Mountain West games on our air last night. I'm in studio for the triple header, and I'm obviously going to Jerry Palm's bracket. I was surprised he had New Mexico out before last night. But I would assume when he updates it now that New Mexico would be on the right side of the bubble after adding a quadrant one win. You can't overstate how big of a like final couple of minutes that was for Richard Pitino last night. Keep in mind, they lose to UNLV at home over the weekend. You ain't supposed to do that, all right? So that was supposed to just be a nothing win before you go to Nevada. Instead, you lose it. You take a quad three loss. You're ranked 25th in the AP poll. That's gone. On Monday. So this goofy loss at home, the UNLV, it puts a quad three loss on your resume and it costs you your national ranking. Boo, that's terrible. Then you're at Nevada and they're down three with 2 minutes to go. All right. So now you're about to have a two game losing skid.
Yes.
And just like Saturday morning, you were feeling really good about yourself. And now you're about to have a two game losing skid. And then it's bang, bang, stop, score. They just like steal one on the road. That's what they did. It felt like they just stole one on the road, and you take a what would have been a quad one loss, you turn it into a quad one win. It probably puts yourself on the right side of the bubble, according to Jerry Palm. Great stuff from New Mexico. San Diego State, that second half was outrageous. 41-11. 41-11? I mean, you don't even see that in like non-league bye games.
Yeah.
Crazy. 41-11.
And I was watching the first half. I was like, wow, like Nico Medved's guys are really going to get this done. And then there were other games on. Like, it was a pretty solid Tuesday night overall, just a lot of watchable stuff. And so I had it on the quad box, but it was one of those things where, I don't know, I guess I just hadn't been checked in about 8 to 12 minutes or so. And I look up the next day, I'm like, oh, it's close. Okay. And then as I'm watching, I'm like, they are running them out of the gym. The most tale of two halves of any tale of two halves I think we've had this entire season. And just an important one for San Diego State. I mean, Colorado State went into that one and won four straight. I think the start of that win streak, I think, was the win over San Diego State. So this actually stops it overall. Just a good night for the Mountain West there, GP. By the way, poll result, I forgot to get to this. Chat says most likely two seed. They got the team you got on the one line. 44% say Marquette. Iowa State 24%. Kansas 23%. Baylor at 9%. So it says seems like the chat is thinking Baylor's going to be a three at best. Marquette on the one line is intriguing. We'll see about that. Just wanted to update you before we continued to move on. Any other thoughts on the Mountain West, or can we keep it rolling here?
Keep it rolling.
Want to go to the SEC?
It's been my lifelong dream.
Well, let's talk SEC here, because we've got Kentucky beating Ole Miss 75-63. And then we've got...
Good for them. Good for them. They needed that. As I said on CBS Sports Network on Tuesday night, the teams got bigger wins on Tuesday night. I don't know that anybody got a more important win. I don't know that anybody needed one more than Kentucky needed that one.
I agree. And the defense...
Better. Like way better.
So had 10 blocks, the second most by a Kentucky player in program history. Trivia time. Who has the record
for blocks?
Blocks in one game.
Probably Anthony Davis.
It's not Anthony Davis. It is another Calipari coach big man, though.
Oh, then it's probably Willie Cauley-Stein.
It's not Willie Cauley-Stein. Can you get it on guess three?
You lose.
Yeah, then it's going to have to be, clearly, it's going to have to be... Yeah, I'm going to go with, I know it's not right, but it's, I'm going to go Carl. No, he never played enough. Carl Anthony Towns never played enough to get that many blocks in one game. Neither did Devin Booker, and neither did Rob Dillingham. So let's see. You got to have to play enough to get that. I'm going to go DeMarcus Cousins.
You lose.
Damn it.
You lose.
Nerlens Noel.
Oh, that's definitely Nerlens who it is.
Nerlens Noel had 12 in 2012-2013. He holds Kentucky record.
If I would have thought of him, that's who I would have submitted as my guess.
You know what? You gave it a good try there. Kentucky had been allowing 84 points per game in SEC play, and it held Ole Miss to 63. That's a good development for a Kentucky program, by the way, that has only lost twice in its history at home to Mississippi. Those losses came in 1927. And then it was shown on the broadcast last night. The Mike White-led Mississippi Running Rebels, or Rebels, I guess they were never running.
The right? Mississippi Running Rebels?
You have the Riverhawks or the Running Rebels.
You couldn't get that more wrong. It's the Ole Miss Rebels, and you just called them the Mississippi Running Rebels. my producer on the GP show, he was talking about the Conference USA, and he was like, yeah, you got the UAB Blazers and those North Texas green guys. He called them the North Texas green guys.
that's a rare airball from me, missing a team's mascot there. The old Running Rebels of Mississippi, back when they had Larry. Yeah, it's the I love those teams.
UNLV Running Rebels and UMass Lowell Mississippi River Hawks.
Yes. If oh my goodness. Mike White played for Ole Miss in 98 and they won at Rupp Arena in Tubby Smith's first year. Chris Beard's team has now lost three in a row. It is a bubble team. We'll see that. Good. Hey, listen, good win for Kentucky. They avoid catastrophe, and they avoid, I think Nada has this up. I promised this on the recent show. I've got the full glossary here. These are now the official terms for a losing streak. If you're watching, you can see it. I'm going to read it out loud here if you're listening. So this is Ion College basketball parlance. One loss, it's a stumble.
Sure. Stumble. Yeah, Virginia stumbled.
Two losses, and this is also color-coded, which I tried to match somewhat closely to you know, whatever that emergency alert system is that we've got in this country. Two losses. We're aware of this. Three losses, you're on a slide. Mm-hmm. Four, that's when it starts to get tricky. Four is a swoon.
Yeah.
Five in a row, you're officially in a slump. Five in a row, you don't want a slump whatsoever. If you take five in a row and you lose again, it's a spiral. There's almost no escape. Once you're in a spiral, there's almost no escaping it whatsoever. And then once you hit seven, it's the point of no return. And you can obviously see the sibilance here. Stumble, skid, slide, swoon, slump, spiral, and then tsunami. The T is silent. And so is your appearance in the NCAA tournament as a high major. If you take on a seven and more, you're in a tsunami. There's no recovering from this. So these are the official terms for losing streaks. Okay. It's a 4-game swoon, a 5-game slump, a 6-game spiral, and a 7-game, 8-game, 9-game tsunami. What do you got, GP?
Can I take issue with swoon?
I mean, you can, but you know, what would you substitute for?
Well, let's just define swoon. And luckily, I have dictionary.com. It says faint from extreme emotion. Would four straight losses make you faint from extreme emotion?
If you're a Mississippi Running Rebel, it would. I'll tell you that much.
Maybe. I just don't know. Like my alma mater endured a 4-game swoon recently, and I never came close to fainting from extreme emotion. I was just like, I don't know why they keep playing 12 guys every game. But I was never close to fainting from extreme emotion.
Swoon is my favorite of the entire list. That and tsunami. 7 games.
I mean, it's a fun word. I mean, I don't mind the word.
Swoon. he's trying, you brought it up and I can hear it. Play that again. You got that?
Swoon. I mean, I don't mind the word. It's a nice word. Swoon.
Swoon. Swoon on Valentine's Day of all days.
Swoon.
That is your official.
Hey, baby. Happy Valentine's Day. How do you feel?
Huh? Okay, there we go.
I don't mind the word. I just don't know that it applies properly.
I'm making it apply. I'm adapting it to what we have here. It's a swoon. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And okay, fine. It's fine.
We've been in the greater sports lexicon for a team that's taken on a few L's. So I officially attached it to four. Swoon. To four. So we don't do the streaks. The streaks are for winning. We're going streaking. Streak is good. You now have the glossary there. Stop hitting the word swoon, please. Nada has how A&M might have taken itself out of the tournament conversation permanently on Tuesday night. Nada, go ahead and fire this up if you got it.
Lanyon to the free throw line, up and under, lost it, throws it up. Got it! That is your game!
If you watch that carefully, the producers of the game thought A&M was going to win. The bucket goes in. Vandy wins on an absurd shot, and they actually changed the records to reflect that A&M won and Vandy lost, and they had to change it about. Unexpected it was.
They were doing the best they could.
A loss at Vandy. That's about it.
I was in studio with a Georgetown legend, two-time NBA All-Star Roy Hibbert, and his commentary on that final possession was, why are they jumping? Why do they keep jumping like that? Just stand there and be big. I was like, well, Roy, they don't have Roy Hibbert. A&M doesn't have Roy Hibbert. Buzz Williams ain't operating with Roy Hibbert down there. But he was like, why are they jumping like that? They're just jumping around everywhere.
That, yeah, that's also true. A&M, after such an inspiring win over the weekend, you return with this problematic. I got to hit this for myself.
That one's on me. I was wrong.
Again, I do not run from my hideous predictions. I had Texas A&M winning the SEC this season. That's a yikesy. Buzz Williams' team is 15-9, and after beating Tennessee at home 85-69, it gets taken out, albeit on a somewhat freakish buzzer beater. Nevertheless, loses against a Vandy team that was outside the top 200 before that game tipped off. It is now 198. Other quick whip arounds here. Providence beat St. John's. Congratulations to Josh Oduro. He is a father. I actually, I talked with him and met the mother of his child. I don't actually know if they are married or not, so I don't want to incorrectly label
the I hope not.
Lovely young woman as his wife.
I hope they're not.
I know you hope they're not. They very well may be. I forgot to ask. I don't know.
I want them to be us. I hope they're not.
Okay. I think it's safe to say that they're us. Is it regardless? Point is this. I went to the Georgetown Providence game. Wonderful, wonderful couple. She was talking to someone else. She's like, I'm ready to pop. And lo and behold, he is the father to a boy that Kim English is the godfather of.
Oduro
did not play over the weekend. He had 28 points in this one. They beat St. John's. It was a really, really good win for Providence. Patino said after, I've been in the dunk, I don't know, four or five times to cover games in the past. I didn't even realize this was the case. Patino brought it up in his opening statement. Billy Donovan's damn number isn't in the rafters at Providence. He took you to a Final Four. Patino stumped for his guy, obviously. Maybe that gets it done. I don't know how, you made the final, you're Providence. You made the 87 Final Four. You don't have Billy Donovan's name in the rafters. What are we doing here? So I thought that was a little surprising.
Y'all trying to get Billy's name everywhere. Isn't Billy's name enough places?
Okay. Well, if you want to resist that.
No, I don't. I want Billy's name everywhere. I would like to have Billy Donovan's name on every court in America.
Good on Providence for getting a win. St. John's is boo boy. They got a lot of work to do. I would say they're not even in the top six teams out of the bracket at this point at best. Big Ten, quick note, Wisconsin beat Ohio State. That was a four-game swoon that Bucky was on, and it avoided the five-game slump there. And then we got to go to the Valley real quick. Indiana State cracked into the AP top 25 this week. Were they in your top?
I had them in there way before the AP voters did. I'm ahead of the curve on this stuff, dead leg.
That's what I thought. They respond by losing Tuesday night at home.
They should not have done that. They shouldn't have done that.
80-67 to Illinois State. And Illinois State, not a good team this season. Congrats to Ryan Peden for getting the first significant win of his young head coaching career. Illinois State's 12-14. Illinois State is outside the 200s, top 200 of every notable metric. It was the first quad one loss of Indiana State's season. And it was the first home loss period that they had. They were weirdly awful from 3-point range, just an unlucky night, 8 of 38 from 3-point range. That is a damaging one. I don't think it kills them from at large consideration because it is the first loss outside of quad one. Now it's a bad, bad quad four GP? Is it quad three or quad four?
I think it was quad four.
Yeah, I think it's quad four. They're 22-4 now overall. They have five games left in the Valley. Three of them are on the road. They have split the season series with Drake, who got out of Evansville on Tuesday night with a buzzer-beating 37-foot shot after Evansville hit a three to send it to seemingly send it to overtime. Then Drake hit a banker at the buzzer to get the win, which was huge for the Valley there. So at least want to acknowledge the craziness that went down there.
That's the second time in the past week Drake went viral.
Okay, again, I don't know what the first time was, and I don't need to know what the first time was. You tried to inject this on the pod on Saturday. I don't need to know. I honestly, this isn't a bit. I don't know what he did. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. Indiana State losing is all I want to talk about, and that's a dinger. I think those two teams need to meet in the Valley Championship game in order to give that conference a chance at a two-bid situation. One more loss for Indiana State, outside quad one, and I think I'm not happy about it. I'm just saying I'm not thinking it's going to have a chance at an at-large situation if it takes another L prior to the Valley bracket.
Yeah. Indiana State, by the way, still 30th in strength of record. So, like there's still some good stuff there, but yes, that was a quad four loss. And to do it the right after you get the number next to your name.
I know.
It just...
45 years since they were ranked, since Larry Bird entered the tournament undefeated. Crazy, right?
Yeah, and then just to give it right back.
I know.
They'll be okay. They'll figure it out. Or they won't.
Word from our partners?
Yeah, give me one of those, partner? Please. Yeah, come on.
Word from partners? Partners?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Norlander, let's look ahead to the next couple nights real quick. Tonight, Inside College Basketball, CBS Sports Network, 6:30 Eastern. I'll be in studio. We'll have a 30-minute pregame show, then a triple header at 7 o'clock, Xavier at Seton Hall, 9 o'clock, number one UConn at DePaul, 11 o'clock, UNLV at Fresno State, the number one team in the country. Going to be on our air tonight, CBS Sports Network. Elsewhere, number 11, this is the game of the night, probably number 11, South Carolina at number 13, Auburn. And number 8, Tennessee is going to go to Arkansas. I know Arkansas is, you know, it's been rough there, but it's still Bud Walton, and you never know.
Is that not, I don't have the AP rankings up in front of me, is that not a top 10 team on the road doing, I guess, an unranked opponent situation again?
Yes, that would be. We had two of them last night, and I think the top 10 teams went 2-1.
Yep.
I'm now keeping track. I'm keeping track, baby.
Got a file. Kansas obviously applies to this. Kansas has lost like four times. It's a top 10. Kansas continually gets.
No, Kansas is responsible. No, Kansas is responsible for four of them. I wrote about this yesterday morning. Kansas has, as a top 10 team, because Kansas has been a top 10 team every day of this season, they've lost four times on the road to unranked teams.
That's a nugget. Kansas has not fallen out of the top 10 the entire season. Okay. Mm-hmm. How about that? That's a good nugget from you over there.
Well, let them go lose by 20 million again. In fairness, it was a month ago we were saying Kansas is a four-player team, and then we took away one of those players, and the other one's got a bad ankle. So they were like a 2.5-player team against. You don't want to take 2.5 players down to Lubbock. That's a rough one.
True. Yeah, McCullough. Obviously, we didn't mention this earlier. We should have. McCullough didn't play again, and it sounds like he still might not play again this weekend. Save that for the Friday show there. So South Carolina Auburn is the big game of the night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, SEC Network. Be checked in for that one. That is a really, really intriguing game. And it's really a house money situation for South Carolina in that spot there, because you're going on the road, hostile environment. Auburn's got back-to-back huge games. They host the Gamecocks here, and then they host Kentucky on Saturday. I will be in the building for that game. You also have Miami-Clemson, ESPN2, 7 p.m. tip on Wednesday night here. Clemson's in a good spot. Don't Clemson this, though, okay? Like, you're at home against a Miami team that's not on trajectory to make the tournament. Get it done. Xavier Seton Hall is just it's a very urgent game for both teams' NCAA tournament resumes. Xavier's in a worse spot than Seton Hall right now. GP mentioned that before, 7 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. Michigan State plays at Penn State. Michigan State's another one of those teams that's, you know, it's doing okay for itself, but don't lose on the road. And then I'm going to give a little love here. How about a little SoCon love? Western Carolina at Samford. Western Carolina has one of the stat monsters in the entire country, Vontarius Woolbright. He's been brought up, I think, one time earlier this season on the Pod GP. And that's a big time game in that league tonight. So, you know, at least wanted to get Samford is, you know, outrageously good for a mid-major. They're 22-3. They might be this year's Florida Atlantic, frankly. We thought it was Indiana State.
Well, I can't wait to rank them top five next preseason.
Exactly. Look out. Bucky McMillan, Bucky Ball. And they are very fun to watch. I detailed them in the court report earlier this season, and we will have more soon on Samford at CBSSports.com, courtesy of David Cobb, who I believe is working up something on them as well. That's just a quality game. It's on Samford's home floor, so they probably will win. But Western Carolina is 18-7, and it has the best player in the league. Vontarius Woolbright's just he's like a 6'6", do everything kind of player. That's a cool Wednesday game. Thursday, there's not a ton. I'll give you what I got, and then you can fill it out here. Northwestern at Rutgers. Mm-hmm. Northwestern is going to make the tournament. I'm highly confident of it. Third time in program history, but It's a light slate. 6:30 Eastern, B10, Big Ten Network on Thursday. And then on our air, 9:00, Gonzaga at LMU. Gonzaga with a road game. Can they avoid a letdown? They can't afford to lose the game from an at-large resume standpoint. And then Colorado at UCLA is your 9:00 Eastern Thursday night ESPN game. Buffaloes could not get it done against Arizona. I said they would beat Arizona as we taped a show Saturday night. I was an idiot. Colorado did not come close to winning that game. They sure could use a road win to boost their at-large case because they are behind Washington State right now. Meantime, Mick Cronin is the greatest coach in UCLA history. We never wavered from that opinion, and they are on a tear over the past 6 weeks.
Well, I can't wait for all that.
That's all you got?
Yeah. I sure can't wait for all that.
All right. I think that's a... That's a Valentine show. You're not at home right now, and you got your other Memphis show here in 10 minutes. So don't worry. We're gonna get you out with plenty of time. Yeah. But did you take care of your wife? I mean,
well, I did all the things you have to do to make sure stuff is delivered.
That's what I wanted to make sure of.
Yeah, I'm a pro at that. I mean, you know, you gotta in between HQ hits on a Saturday. You just go ahead and knock out some cherries, berries, and some roses, and you know, just make sure you just need stuff. You need her at her business to you just need people to be like, oh wow, look at this, oh who got that, oh GP got that, oh isn't he the sweetest? That's what I'm going for.
Okay, that's what your wife sounds like. I'm sure she'd love that impression.
No, that was an impression of other people witnessing a delivery person.
Okay.
Yeah. No, my wife would never be like, isn't GP so sweet? That's not the way she talks. That's not the way she talks about me. But I'm hoping I can trick other people by having somebody deliver flowers and balloons and candies and all that stuff. Do you love Valentine's Day or not?
I'm fine with it. I don't not like it, and I'm not over the moon about it. But I embrace the day for all of for everything that brings with it. I'll tell you what, my kids were excited because my mother-in-law came over yesterday and dropped off a bunch of stuff. So to them, it's just another day where they get candy and cool little things. So they're pumped up.
I could do without it if I'm being honest. I could do without it. It feels like it's just a made up thing to make me go buy. It feels like it's just a made up thing to prop up the chocolate industry and the flower industry.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. It's unfortunate, but I had a little chat with the wife recently. So this year we no chocolates. She was more than okay with
it. Yeah. You know, it's good. It's good. You guys. It's good. You guys can talk. Are close enough? You can talk about stuff like that.
Yeah, we're not afraid to kind of lean into that. So.
It's important to have tough conversations within your marriage.
Dave, are you good if I don't, you know, buy you chocolates and this excessive stuff this year? Like, is that really necessary? It's like, nah, yeah, I'm good. Okay, sounds good. Love it.
I actually think that's a great conversation to have. Hey, are you cool if I don't buy? How about this? You don't buy me $30 chocolates, and I won't buy you $30 chocolates, and we'll save calories and money.
Well, she never. That's the thing. We can get going, but like, I never want that stuff, so she never gets it. And I was like, you know what? I think we could just we can take a break on both sides this year. And she was more than okay with that. So there we go.
Well, it's good. It's good to hear you guys can talk about the difficult things in the marriage like that. You could be so open about it. I admire that.
Let's get going.
Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry M. F. Antigo, legend. Shouts to Huck. Shouts to Larnell. Thank you guys once again for watching and listening to the Eye on College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe. Anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple, Spotify. There's more of us than there are of them. That should be reflected in the comments. So please do that. We'll talk to you again on Friday morning. Till then, take care.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever! The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.